It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Happy Friday. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan. Andy Hart from Parts Unknown with us as well. Hello, Andy.
You should be glad that I am not in studio today.
Why is that?
I think I had a few too many boneless buffalo tenders last night after making their way through the system.
Biohazard situation.
A little bit.
I'll tell you what, that's my favorite part of Fridays, if we're being honest here, is that I can turn this room into a biohazard. So I guess everybody's happy. Anyway, it's a Patriots Friday here on WEEI Afternoons. Mike Giardi will be joining the show at 3:30. Looking forward to that. We'll have some Bruin stuff for you as well. But we begin with, I'm going to just go ahead and say this. I think there's an opportunity here, Andy, for Gerard Mayo, who you just heard right there talking about the good practice that they had this week. If you were listening to Jones and Keefe, you heard not only Mike Onwenu say that he's had a bunch of offensive coordinators, but that Alex Van Pelt has been his favorite. And also Alex Van Pelt saying, I don't need any help. We don't need any help with Drake May. Thanks very much. We got this, everybody. I think there's something happening here in this locker room, and I don't know exactly what it's going to lead to. I don't know if it's going to be everybody galvanizing around the coaching staff. I don't know if it's going to be one of those, you know, rah-rah type of things. This is supposed to be a year that establishes culture. We did talk about that all throughout camp and discussing Gerard Mayo's various strengths and weaknesses. We all thought that was going to be one of the things that he was really going to emphasize. And I believe that all this stuff that happened this week, from the win over the Bears, to the leaked story about the Crafts looking for help with Drake May and really everything else, I think that that's permeated the locker room now to the point where they're starting to establish something here. They're starting to create their identity, Andy, I think. It's taken a while. I mean, we're at week 11, but I think it's starting to come into focus a little bit. Now, I don't know if that means they're going to beat the Rams this weekend. They probably won't. But I do think you're starting to see, and on the field too, but I think in general here, you're starting to see some of that culture that we were promised when Gerard Mayo took over this job, because we knew it wasn't going to be about his scheme. We knew it wasn't necessarily going to be about X's and O's with this guy. I think that all of this stuff happening this week and the way these guys are talking and the way they're sort of reacting to all these different things, starting all the way back from Mayo calling the team soft a month ago or whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, I believe that that's now starting to become something. And I'm kind of excited for it. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes, because we know this team's not very talented. If they're going to win games, they're going to win them on sheer force of will or the other team crapping out or whatever it is. But I'm starting to see it. Are you starting to see it?
So on the Friday after they beat the Bears, I can see it. I hope I can still see it around 4:15 on Sunday when I start the Six Rings postgame show after this Rams game. Because,
right.
You know, this is certainly what they're trying to do. And it's funny because I was just scrolling through Twitter, and apparently Diana Russini on some podcast of hers said the NFL is trending toward head coaches that owners believe are culture setters more so than play callers. And certainly Gerard Mayo is in that world, because he doesn't call plays on either side of the ball, has never called plays on either side of the ball. So you brought him as a culture setter, like a Dan Campbell in Detroit. Totally different personality, but certainly culture setting is part of their thing. And Gerard has talked a lot about this. They've talked a lot about this. I just think it's a good week to be talking about it and it to sound believable, but to maybe mix my metaphors or take a cliche from another topic we'll be talking about and maybe be lamenting around midnight tonight. Everybody's got a culture until they get kicked in the you know what or punched in the mouth, yep. Right? Like culture is only something you promote and brag about when you're playing well and when you're winning and when there's some sort of positive momentum moving forward. If you go out there and you get blown out by the Rams, I'm not sure we're going to be having a lot of conversations about, oh yeah, the culture is really trending in a right direction, because nobody brags about culture when you're losing. Nobody brags about culture when you're getting embarrassed or turning the ball over or allowing big plays or, I don't know, playing soft by not running the ball and allowing the ball to be run down your throat. So, yep, this Friday afternoon on a Patriots Friday, Optimistic Andy will join you in this culture-setting tone in New England. Sunday or Monday, we may have a different
We may be singing a different tune, and I know you think the Patriots are getting blown out this week,
yep.
And we'll get to our picks and everything later on in the show. And listen, people already say, oh, Arcan, you're flip-flopping. Where was this 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, Mayo was calling the team soft. Three weeks ago, this whole thing was getting established. So you do have to give it some time. It's not just a snap judgment you can make on a week-to-week basis. I do think, though, that it's the combination of all those things. It's beating Chicago. It's beating another rookie quarterback. It's beating a more talented team than you. I mean, that's a fact, I think. Maybe even on both sides of the ball. Like, in terms of overall talent, the Bears got you clipped pretty much everywhere. And that was not only a good game by the defense, but it also sort of showed them. Things look bad here in New England, right? Like, you're not having a good season. You've lost some pretty ugly games. But there's teams out there in worse shape than you, and they've got more talent than you. And you're able to go out there and beat them on their home field. Like, that was substantial. I think that meant something to that locker room, as it showed them that, hey, you're not the bottom of the barrel anymore. You're not the dredge of the league. You're still down there with the rest of us at three wins, but you're not down at the bottom number one pick in this bad NFL season anymore. And I think that there's something to that. I think you can build off of that type of thinking. And I think that Jerod Mayo, if this is what he's going to be talking about with his culture setting and all of that, the sense of urgency, which we heard about this week and everything else, this has all the elements of it. And again, you might be right. They might get their ass kicked this weekend. We'll forget all about it. But if they lose a close game, or if they win the game, you know, like, there's things you can appreciate about this season that we've talked about since camp. And I do think that that's starting to come into form here.
Do you believe Jerod Mayo is setting the culture?
Yes.
Because I think you could make a strong argument that he has been trying to set the culture all year long. And the culture took off about 5 or 6 games ago when Drake May joined the culture. And at the very least started pulling in the same direction as the head coach, mm-hmm. in terms of culture. Because I do think to use the word John Lyons used on Sunday on the postgame show, tone setter. Drake May is becoming a tone setter for this organization. And we've talked about the fact that he doesn't seem to be a why guy. He seems, and I don't say this in a bad way, to be a yes man.
Yep.
Like, Alex Van Pelt says it, Jerod Mayo says it, they're my coaches, I'm going to fall in line.
Yes, sir.
Bill Belichick would love it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, militaristic, I'm beneath them in the ranks, and therefore they know what's best, and I'm going to do my best to make their best come to fruition. And I think there is significant value in that, and that's not a shot at Jacoby Brissett, because some of it is just the realization. Everyone knew what Jacoby Brissett was.
Right.
Right? He was a placeholder, so he can't set culture. Total quick aside here. Did you see there's a Jacoby Brissett, one of those progressive commercials? Like, if life had backups and the woman's trying to do her taxes and she's screwing up her taxes and she goes, Jacoby, get in here.
No,
Jacoby,
I haven't seen that one.
It's awesome. And I'm wondering now, I'm wondering if they waited until he was a backup quarterback again. Like, oh, we can't run this. He's actually the starter in New England for the first 6 weeks. But it's pretty good. He comes in and he puts on glasses and he starts going through the receipts and hitting the calculator and everything. But, backup quarterbacks don't set cultures. Backup quarterbacks don't help set cultures, in my opinion. Backup quarterbacks just hold seats. And now Drake May has joined this little culture club. And I do like that others are
culture
joining.
My- you see what I did there?
I did.
I also thought earlier when you were explaining this, there's something happening here. Isn't that a song?
Yeah.
What it is not exactly
here,
clear.
Right. Yeah, sure. And then Public Enemy did a song over that too.
Yeah.
Who is that? Lou Reed?
I have no idea.
I forget.
I went to you. You're the music guy.
I should know this, yeah.
I rely on you guys to be the music guys. Anyway, but that Mike Onwenu is joining the culture club. Like, Big Mike, your best offensive lineman. Love it. I don't know if he even means it or
believes it. Buffalo Springfield, that's who
it is. Yes.
Yep.
I don't know if he even means or believes that this is the best offense he's had since he's been here, but he says it. And it sounds believable, and it helps the overall lifting of all the boats, right? Mm-hmm. Alex Van Pelt, I don't need your stinking help, Kraft. Take your plans and shove them.
Yeah.
We're doing just fine here. I like this little circle, you know, the old circling of the wagons idea here. I like the idea that more and more guys are coming together. A little piece of this, Christian Barmore, mm-hmm. returning to the practice field. One of your best defensive players joining the mix. So I totally agree with you. There is a little bit of momentum here after bottoming out with the soft comments.
Yeah.
But now you got to keep it going. You can't allow it to regress. Like, we're going to talk about the Bruins later. They're the kings of one step forward, two steps back this year.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, Patriots, you need to keep taking little steps forward, one step at a time, because it feels like you are starting to stack those steps together.
Yeah, it looks like it. It looks like that's happening. A good week of practice after a good win in Chicago. The Patriots are 4.5. What's the line at right now? I didn't check.
4.5 last I checked.
4.5 points, the home dogs against the Rams team, who had all sorts of trouble last week with the Miami Dolphins. As you've pointed out here, the momentum is on the Patriots' side right now, and the Rams definitely have more to play for because they're still competitive. They're still in a division where they could emerge from there in the wild card race, to be sure, or as a division winner, as the NFC West is certainly not settled yet. But the Patriots do have the benefit of a win this week. There's some culture stuff here. Do we have Mike Onwenu, Stiz? This is no, not yet. All right, we'll get that for you. If you missed it on the Jones and Keefe show, he said that Alex Van Pelt is the best offensive coordinator he's ever had, whether you believe it or not. Also, Barmore's back this week. That'll give a lift to a team.
Yep.
One of your best defensive players coming back and practicing. Now, I don't know when he's going to actually play, but
the door is open. The
door is open for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Could be this week. They're going to have a meeting with doctors after practice today, mm-hmm. and he did not shut the door on the possibility, and it would surprise me, but he did not close the door on the possibility that he could play on Sunday against the Rams, and I think that would be a big boost, not just the obvious boost, which all the trolls on Twitter are like, Captain, this could help? Really? Thanks. Now, that's why you're an NFL insider. But also just...
That was me, by the way, who said that.
Yeah, I figured. You get a lot of burners. You
burner
like that
counts.
Kind of guy. You're like Kevin Durant with all those sensitivities and pushing back on things. But no,
it's
like,
true.
There's the physical. He's in the middle of the defense, mm-hmm. and Dietrich Wise is banged up, so you could actually maybe swap those guys out and not lose anything. But also just the idea, if we talk a lot about they're soft up the middle because really all their best players up the middle are missing, they
right.
know it. Even if Jeremiah Farms and, what is it, Joaquin Roy, whatever
yes,
the hell
right,
his name
yes.
is. Even if those guys are stepping up, you know your best players aren't out there. And there's a toll to that. And having him back out there for 10 snaps, 12 snaps, 15 snaps with his personality, you know, he's kind of the Kendrick Bourne of the defense with just always smiling, talking fast, saying things, screwing around, that whole thing. Absolutely, that could be a positive for them.
Yeah, certainly could. Another positive thing is that the offensive line, comparatively speaking to the rest of the year, is healthy. That includes Mike Onwenu, who I believe is going to be at right guard again. I don't know exactly where they're going to play him.
Seems to be the indication.
That's where he's been practicing. I wouldn't be shocked to see him kick out to right tackle, although I thought DeMontre Jacobs had a good week last week. Mike Onwenu spoke with Jones and Keefe and was glowing remarks about his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I really like AVP. I think he's done a good job. And I'm really just, I've been through a couple OCs, and, you know, I like what he's done the most. And he brings good energy every day. I mean, he's the same guy every day, and keeps it bright for us and just always lets us play good football.
So Mike Onwenu was drafted in 2020, okay?
Yeah.
That means he had 2 years of Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
1 year of Matt Patricia.
Understandable.
1 year of Bill O'Brien. And now this year of Alex Van Pelt, which isn't even a full year yet. Again, we're 11 weeks into a 17-week season. And he said that out of all the – I've had some offensive coordinators, and I like what he does the best. Now, do you believe that? I mean, do you believe that he is more into this than he was when Scarnecchia was there? Like, right? He had a couple years with Scarnecchia. So, like, is this – do you buy this, I guess?
Well, Host One, I've done radio with a lot of Host Ones, and I think you're the best Host One that I've ever been with.
Wow, I don't believe you, but thanks.
Now, like – do I think he's saying what he wants to, you know, sell to the listeners and to the media? Sure. I think he's doing that as trying to be a leader. Because, I mean, you hand a guy $55 million, whether he's a leader or not, he carries some weight, no pun intended
right.
for him, given the Lombardi comments. But he carries some weight around here. So you want him to be supportive. I'd love to believe it, but am I truly to believe that he believes Van Pelt is better than Josh McDaniels? Or it might just be Van Pelt's nicer.
Right.
Because I firmly believe that. The nicest offensive coordinator that he's had is Alex Van Pelt. Mm-hmm. The most personable, the most likely to seem like a father figure, grandfather, whatever you want to call him. I firmly believe that's Alex Van Pelt because I think Josh can be a pain in the ass.
He can be grating on players, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Billy O can be vulgar and grating, and he's the teapot. And obviously, the Judge Patricia thing was just a crap show.
Right.
They're not even really in the running. But so I think there's probably something to the effect that I like Alex Van Pelt the most, so I'll say he's the best I've had. Even though tactically and scheme-wise, he may not necessarily really be the best he's had.
The offensive line being healthy and a little continuity from week to week, we're happy about that, obviously, for Drake May. And I thought that they looked good against the defense. Now, we know Caleb Williams in the offense was having all sorts of problems. Waldron got fired. No one got fired from that defense.
Nope.
And I thought that, for the most part, the offensive line held up well. Now, they didn't score a lot of points, and there were times where I thought they could have moved the ball a little bit better, but they ran the ball better than they have in recent weeks, and in general, I thought they kept May pretty upright.
Absolutely. Other than Onwenu on that early sack, that was pretty much their lone really bad play of the day. And I would say for them, that's the starting point. It doesn't necessarily have to be perfect pass protection, move the line of scrimmage, and we're pushing bodies out of the way. Don't line up incorrectly, don't have false starts, don't have negative plays in the passing game or the running game. If you avoid all the negative plays as this offensive line, I think that's a massive step forward. I think they can, Alex Van Pelt and Drake May and company can work with that. They don't have to be, you know, the Eagles where they're going to do a tush push and just move the line of scrimmage. I think they can be good enough if they're just
or
not
just hand
bad.
It to Barkley and have him score four touchdowns in the third in the fourth quarter.
He's
or
pretty
three,
good
whatever it was. That was ridiculous. You ever seen that video where the guy's on the beach and he's holding one of those crabs and he drops it on the ground, the crab just takes off, runs into the water, and it's like there in 1 second? That was Saquon Barkley. He was like one of those crabs that just flies down the beach. That was
offensive
ridiculous.
Player of the year, baby. Oh, offensive player of the year. Let's go.
He's going to lock that up, I think. As good as Henry's doing, Saquon, he was unbelievable last night. We'll talk about that game as well, as another rookie quarterback was involved in the game and had maybe one of his worst games. His ribs a little banged up there. Jaden Daniels looking human for one of the first times all season. So we'll get into that one as well. As not to mention, when we discuss Alex Van Pelt and we discuss everything that's sort of different between the Patriots and the Rams, I would say, I don't know if you agree with this, I would say offensive coordinator, but more offensive philosophy. That's where the biggest divide is to me between these two teams. And I think that you'll see that in action. We saw a Miami Dolphins team that has a very modern, sort of sophisticated offense, but it was Snoop Huntley running it, so I don't think there was a whole lot of room there for McDaniel and all those guys to spread their wings. This case, though, you got a Rams team that's mostly healthy. You got McVay, you got Stafford, you got all the receivers, you got Kyron Williams. This, I think, is going to be a real, I don't know, it's going to be a real reflection here of what a Patriots simple offense and a new look, new age Rams offense, those going against each other. I'm interested in seeing what that looks like.
Yeah, and especially, and I had kind of forgotten about this until one of the reporters, might have been Phil Perry during the Mayo press conference, brought up that Nick Caley is on that staff, and you wanted Nick Caley to be your offensive coordinator here until he apparently asked for too much money. That was beyond what you wanted to pay a first-time coordinator. But yeah, certainly the Sean McVay offense has been the measuring stick on a lot of levels for a while now. It jump-started the whole hire anybody that has any Sean McVay ties kind of era of coaching here, which may have petered out a little bit now. Although last year Zach Robinson got the job and he's doing a good job down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, that's it would certainly be a feather in the cap of Alex Van Pelt and the Patriots defense. It would take a team effort, but if Alex Van Pelt can have the more successful, well coordinated offense on Sunday, it's just a step forward for him in general, but also to do it against Sean McVay and sort of the modern measuring stick in that role would be nice. Because Alex Van Pelt is the polar opposite, essentially, of Sean McVay.
Yeah.
He's the old guy that took forever to get his opportunity. Sean McVay's the young, you know, young guy, looks good, lives in the fancy houses with the fancy model girlfriend and all that. Alex Van Pelt, I told you yesterday, he's dad jeans with his hands in his pocket saying, like, hey, guys, what are we doing? kind of thing.
Yeah. You know? Has, like, a house with shag carpet and, like, wood paneling in the basement and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's probably drinks Miller Lite. Like, and that's not a shot at Miller Lite. I feel like I could sit down and have a nice Miller Lite with Alex Van Pelt. I feel like if I sat down with Sean McVay, first of all, he'd be like, what are you wearing? You have jeans and whatever on. And then he'd order some fancy wine
or something.
I don't even know what
some
he would
craft
order.
Craft cocktail.
It definitely would not be a Miller Lite. And when they came, Alex Van Pelt and I would both say, yeah, we don't need the glass. We'll just drink it out of the bottle and we'd have a nice chat.
We're just men. We're men who drink beer.
Yeah. Real men.
That's what we do. If you could go back in time, if you could hop in the DeLorean and set the clock back to the office season, would you go back and pay Nick Caley $4 million a year, or would you stick with Alex Van Pelt and not alternate or affect the timeline there? What would you prefer to do, knowing what we know now?
That is a great question.
Thanks.
Marty! I think I would hire Nick Caley. I like Nick Caley. I like the idea of Nick Caley, the youthful guy. But it is, I'm trying to remove, I like Drake May a lot. So am I valuing that Drake May is just special and it didn't matter who coordinated him and coached him, he would have been fine? Mm. Or do I have to give Alex Van Pelt credit for what he has done for Drake May to get him to this point where I really like what I'm seeing from Drake May, and so does everybody else in all of football? So, like, that long term, would I want Nick Caley? Yes, I would want Nick Caley. Sorry, Alex Van Pelt. But Alex Van Pelt, you've done a great job with Drake May, and for the long term, maybe that's more important.
Yeah, it might be. The only thing I would say is Nick Caley didn't get an offensive coordinator job. Like, he's with the Rams, and he's the tight ends coach. And I don't even know who the tight ends on the Rams are. Like, is Taylor Higbee, is he still on the team? Like, I don't even know who those guys are. So I'm sure that he's cooperating with what they're doing and that he has input in it and all that. But it's not like he was this majorly sought-after offensive coordinator candidate. Like, he overplayed his hand a little bit, and I think the Patriots said no thanks and didn't want to go that high. But in retrospect, you know, like, he does fit that profile. But as we saw with Shane Waldron last week, the profile isn't bulletproof. The profile doesn't always hit. Sometimes you miss.
And I believe Nick Caley is their pass game coordinator, which was, I think that's what Shane Waldron was before he went to Seattle.
Yeah.
I think that's their way of promoting guys below McVay to get a little notoriety before they can move on to coordinator jobs elsewhere. So I think Nick Caley is on the track to be a coordinator. Hell, Gerard Mayo said it today. He will be a coordinator in this league. He's absolutely on that track, and he brings certain skills and energies and different things that'll be good. So I would have hired Nick Caley. Yes, I probably would have bit the bullet and paid an extra $1 million and hired Nick Caley.
All right, Alex Van Pelt spoke with the media. He also spoke with Jones and Keefe. We'll get to some of what he had to say, and we'll talk about how the Patriots can win this game. What's the game plan going to be? What do you expect from Drake May, and how do you think the defense is going to hold up going against that Rams offense, which is littered with talent, much like a team we were talking about all last week, only this team doesn't have a quarterback in the midst of a breakdown because he's getting sacked so much. So we'll get to all of that. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. First, here's Stiz to tell you which.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Trending. Cheer offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, a defiant Alex Van Pelt today with Jones and Keefe. We'll play that audio for you as well. Talking about the team's identity, something I think is starting to round into form. I don't know necessarily if that means they're going to win a bunch of games, Andy. I don't predict that for the rest of the season. I think they're still going to be around the 4 or 5 win mark. Five I'd cap it off at. And that's not necessarily what I'm even talking about here. An identity doesn't mean wins. An identity means something that you can hang your hat on in terms of what to expect on a weekly basis. Right now, I'm not really sure we can expect anything other than Drake May to go out there and make some good throws. Like, when it comes to the offense and the defense, and even really the special teams, if you think about it, there's not really any week-to-week consistency. Like, you haven't seen two straight good games by the defense. You haven't seen two straight good games by the offense. Like, the only thing you can really count on is that Drake May is going to flash a little bit. He's going to have a couple of plays that make you say ooh and ah. And other than that, you have no idea what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So for them to get an identity going and for them to be able to establish that here late in the season, but better late than never, is relevant, I think, and could lead to more success for them, or at the very least, them rounding into some kind of form that they can build off of and continue to build in the offseason.
Can I offer up the possibility that they're a try-hard team, that they bring effort for four quarters? Like, I haven't seen much quit in this team. All season long. And I think that is if you're going to take baby steps and just sort of really piece by piece do this, I think that's a good first piece of the puzzle to say they don't have a lot of quit in them. They may not be talented. They may not have the ability to do a lot of things in any area, but they're not going to lay down. They're not going to see when the going gets tough. They're just going to give up. We've questioned, I guess, Kayshon Booty maybe fighting for the football would be one negative example in that area. But they've had poor tackling days. I don't know that I ever said, oh, he quit there. He wasn't going full speed to get to that ball. I think generally they play with effort and they play full speed even when they're losing, and they've lost a lot of games.
Yep.
And I guess this probably ties into that comment from Jonathan Jones with us a couple of weeks ago, like, yeah, kind of surprising that things are not fracturing or splintering or going south or dragging us down. We are staying pretty upbeat and trying to win football games and trying to practice and do those things. So I think that's their first identity. And then I think their second identity is the one they basically put on big freaking billboards all offseason and told us what they wanted to be. I mean, they need to run the ball. Mm-hmm. This week, I think, as much as any week, they need to run the football. That's a good defensive front that if you just say, we're going to put Drake May in a lot of passing situations, we're going to put this offensive line in a lot of passing situations, I think they're in trouble. I think Jared Verse and the Fisk kid and those guys will get after it, and that could lead to that bad rookie game I've said that Drake May has pretty much avoided so far. They have to play defense. They have to be able to play just old school football kind of game. They're not, if a shootout erupts, I think they are in immense trouble. If they have to throw, I think they're in immense trouble. They have to run. And I am still waiting for Ramondre Stevenson to have kind of his marquee game. You're gushing about Saquon, and we gush about Derrick Henry, and we gush about, you know, Christian McCaffrey at various, all these guys. Well, Gerard Mayo's told us all year the reason they signed him is because Ramondre Stevenson is a top 10 back, right?
Right.
Well, if you're going to be a top 10 back, I need you at one of these points, whether the line is great or not, to have one of your marquee games, to give me, you know, a couple 45-yard runs. Give me, you know, 150 yards rushing, a big performance on your own. Not last week, I rushed 20 times for 70 yards and I allowed us to play our style of game. Nope. Give me some plays. Give me a memorable game, a game that in 3 years I'll say, oh, remember that game he had against the Rams? He really put that offense on his back and carried them.
Yeah, that first game against the Bengals, he rushed for 120 yards and a touchdown. I watched that game and thought, you know what, maybe I was wrong about Stevenson. Maybe he's going to have that kind of season. Maybe this year is the year where he starts playing like a top five, top 10 back, whatever you said, and has Saquon-type games or Derrick Henry-type games. And I was all for it. And it seemed like if this is the identity that they're going for, well, they got one half of it right there. Like, that defense was good against the Bengals, who were not at 100%, and it seemed like you sort of had everything going. Everything you wanted to do was working in that week one game, and then you're right. I mean, Stevenson since then has not cracked 90 yards, let alone 100, and he did have the two-touchdown game against the Jets, but he barely rushed for anything, and that's been a real issue with this team. Now, you can make the argument that the offensive line has more to do with it than the ability of Stevenson, but I don't know. We've seen a few years of Stevenson now, and it's not like year in and year out he's having games like this or flashes like that where he could be an elite top three, top five, whatever, running back. We just haven't seen it. So I don't know. I mean, the Rams did a good job against Deshaun and the Dolphins rushing last week. That's not how they lost that game. They lost because they couldn't get in the freaking end zone. But yeah, I mean, that'd be a nice thing to see if they can get the run game going and get it going against a young athletic front, as you mentioned, with those two good rookies right up the middle there. That would be huge for them this week.
And I think that's how everything is designed in this archaic, if you want to call it that, whatever, you know, Alex Van Pelt offense. It is, we're going to run the ball, then we're going to play action pass, and we're going to boot, and we're going to just do some of those things.
Boot and rally.
And then rally.
Yep.
And that's what you're supposed to be. And I don't know that it has been easy for him to do that or really effective for him to do that all year. And the biggest part is they haven't had a lot of those successful runs. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Stevenson kind of have to break tackles to even have runs at times. And I go back to that Bengals game. Absolutely was his best game of the year because absolutely he worked hard to break tackles and maximize runs and get everything he could out of every run. I don't think it was easy by any means. It was not a great day for the offensive line, in my opinion. And if he can get some of those and run behind Big Mike, and maybe Big Mike settles in at right guard, and maybe that's the start of it, where just sort of I know that area is going to be pretty well maintained.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an area, if I'm looking even for a cutback, even if the ball isn't designed to go there, like, maybe I'll just go this way because that's where Big Mike is, and maybe he's in the way of somebody. So I do think that would be the best first step towards upsetting the Rams this weekend is get him going.
617-779-7937. Let's go to your phones here early and often. Jay is in North Carolina. He's been waiting since the start of the show. Go ahead, Jay.
Patience is okay because you guys are awesome.
Thank you, Jay.
Don't mind that at all.
What's up? Thanks, Jay.
But listen, God help the other teams if the Patriots start believing in themselves, and God help the Patriots if they start believing in themselves, and I think that's what's happening. I'm looking for a Brock Purdy type of deal where the teams start galvanizing around Drake May, and I think that could happen. The professionals will start acting like it. Thanks, guys. That's about all I got to complain about right now. I'm not complaining, though.
All right. Thanks, Jay. I mean,
that was the most positive complaint ever.
It really was. And I think that there is something to that. It really happens, though, when you're leading your team to victory. Like, isn't that when the galvanization around the young quarterback really happened? Like, hey, this guy's winning us games. Some throws here and there, he's helping our stats. Like, yeah, of course they like that. But it's different. You get the whole locker room on your side when you're walking off the field after a win, which is why Ross Tucker yelled at you, Andy. I mean, I think that's exactly the reason why. Like, that's a different feeling. That's a different leadership, feather in your cap when it comes to that as a rookie quarterback who's 22 years old, whatever he is. Like, I think that's substantial. You know, that means something.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does mean something. I don't know if it means as much as talent. Like, you got that quarterback because you were in the third pick.
Right, yeah.
Had you been in the fourth pick, you would have been porked, and this season would look totally different right now. But I think the quarterback idea that Jay was talking about, like, I do find that so, I don't want to say fascinating because that's such a dorky word, but like
fascinating is a dorky word?
I think we say in sports, I'm fascinated by too often, and I kind of hate it, so I try not to say it.
Okay.
But quarterback changes everything.
Who said that?
A lot of people say fascinated.
A lot of people say fascinated?
Oh, yeah. Listen in sports talk radio, TV, analysis, people say fascinated too much, so maybe I'm fascinated with people saying fascinated. Maybe that's a problem with me.
I honestly can't. Like, I'm struggling to think of a time I've heard someone say that. But all right, I'll take your word for it.
It happens too
okay.
much.
All right.
But the quarterback position, the attitude too, the buy-in. And I remember this talk going all the way back to Brady Bledsoe and guys talking about, you know, you fall into these ruts of just doing what you do because, oh, there's the quarterback and I know what he does. And then there's a change and that sparks the relationship. It sparks the feeling. And maybe you feel like you need to do more, or maybe you feel like he allows you to do more, that there's these weird dynamics that take place with the quarterback team. Even the offensive line, I'm not just talking about receivers and running backs. It's like everybody. I think Damian Woody was actually the one that talked about it way back when. He was a center and a right guard. And it's like, yeah, there's just it changes the feeling. And it didn't mean they hated Drew Bledsoe.
Right.
It just changed things. And I think it's quite clear that, and this doesn't mean anybody hated Jacoby Brissett or I hate Jacoby Brissett, but I think it's quite clear Drake May changes things. And I brought this up the Eagles game. I thought the energy, the electricity, whatever it was in Gillette Stadium, and not just from the fans because, oh, great, we're seeing our first round pick. Yay, cheer. I thought the team, the feeling on the field, the energy just lifted. You know, that old wrestling phrase, business is about to pick up.
Right.
Business picked up when he came in the game. And I think you continue to see that he has that natural ability. And I do think the more people buy into that and hone into that, I think that can lift the whole offense, even if they're really not any better physically. Even if all the sum of the parts aren't any better, the sum becomes better because Drake May gets more out of them.
Yep, 100%. I agree with you. Speaking of the Eagles, they matched up with a rookie quarterback last night and put him right in this place. Nice division game there. Big game for Saquon Barkley. We'll get into what happened in Thursday Night Football last night right after this. Saquon Barkley, a ridiculous fourth quarter, really a ridiculous game. He's having a ridiculous season. As the Philadelphia Eagles come away with a 26-18 win over Washington, wasn't even that close. They were up by two scores. Washington had a garbage time touchdown at the end there. They got off to a good start, though, the Commanders did. They were up, I think, 10-3 in the third quarter, and then they kicked a field goal. It was 10-6. It really didn't seem like Philadelphia could get anything going, and the Washington offense wasn't great either, but defensively, I thought they did a real nice job to limit the Philadelphia passing game. But what happened was what's been happening all year, and that is Saquon Barkley is just a force of nature, and they're really doing a good job blocking for him up front. He had a couple of runs where there was no one around him once he got through the hole, and motored to the end zone in the open field, which, man, runs like that, you know, as fast as he is and as good as he is, when you have that much room, that means you got good blocking up ahead of you. You got good receivers and tight ends blocking, too. And he's really benefited from that this year. But more importantly, I guess, for our purposes here in New England, Andy, the first game where Jaden Daniels kind of plummeted back to earth.
Yeah, I actually thought both the quarterbacks didn't play very well. Jalen Hurts, who's had this weird up and down nature to his career over the last, whatever, 16 or 18 months. He's got a little of the, I know people try to say he's very even keeled. I'm not sure his body language and facial expressions on the sideline is very
little mopey
good.
Sometimes, a little mopey,
yes,
over there, yeah.
Absolutely, and not playing very well.
Right.
You know, there was that throw, A.J. Brown, the guy fell down, and he didn't turn his feet and just kind of missed him wide left down the left sideline.
Yeah.
Daniels,
that wasn't even close. Yeah.
No, it was horrific.
Yeah.
And then Daniels, I thought, missed some throws. He was hitting guys in the feet, throwing low. You know, he had that weird play, the fourth down with a fumbled snap kind. He had to run. He got popped short.
The only thing that was working for them was Eckler. I mean, that's it. You know,
yep.
Just checking down to Eckler, and it worked, and that's what he's good for. But nobody at McLaurin, the rest of those guys, even the Ertz, like, there wasn't much else happening offensively.
No. And other than Saquon Barkley, both offenses kind of struggled, I thought. This was a Saquon Barkley game. But it also, for me, was like this jumping off point to, A, let's not anoint Jaden Daniels just yet, or let's not try to slot the rookie quarterbacks just yet, because I still think Drake May is coming on fast on the third turn there, kind of. You got a late start, but he's doing some good things. And I don't even want to anoint Jalen Hurts or any of these other guys. You know, I said to you in the email, back and forth, it's almost like anyone not named the Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Mahomes. I don't even think I'm missing anybody. Anybody not, and I know people try to put Herbert in there, and okay, maybe Herbert's supposed to be. But to me, those four are the true elite franchise quarterbacks right now. And then everybody else is like Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate. And then it's like Jalen Hurts, bad body language. Jalen Hurts, inconsistent.
Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Burrow, Jackson.
Yeah. I think that's the core four.
All AFC
top.
Guys, but yeah.
Yeah. That's the truly elite. And then other guys come and go, and you know, Purdy is trying to figure out what
Purdy,
he is.
Baker's
and,
having a big year.
Yeah, but those guys are in that mix of, I think you can go from the fifth best quarterback to the 12th best quarterback very easily over the course of a couple weeks or a month of NFL play. And I'd put Hurts in there. And
Goff, I'd put Goff in there too.
Goff in there. You know, there's so many of them. Even Stafford, I would put in there, is not, you know, consistently elite and just carry the offense, do whatever it takes. And that's why I'm hopeful. You know, you need a fifth guy to make a top five.
Sure.
And there's a guy named Drake May that we fit nicely in that top five there. Make him one of those guys that just carries his offense no matter what, makes the right plays no matter what.
I'm learning about you, Andy, as we do these shows together here and sort of get to know each other. I'm learning about you that you just sort of get lost in optimism sometimes because the idea that they haven't ranked all the rookie quarterbacks yet, that Jaden Daniels isn't head and shoulders, pelvis and kneecaps above everybody, all the other rookie quarterbacks, is kind of insane. But I do like what you're getting at. And I do think that there is sort of an opening under the top four. I don't think Drake May is near it, even when it comes to the rookies yet.
No.
It's going to take a while before he's going to pass someone like Jaden Daniels, who didn't have that bad of a game. Like, it wasn't a good game.
Right.
And that fourth down run, I don't know. I mean, that was maybe not the best idea for a play call. But I think no matter what they did there, Barkley's going to score touchdowns on you. That was going to happen regardless. So, I don't know. But, yeah, he didn't electrify or anything like that. But that wasn't the type. Like, Drake May's had games like that this year.
Sure.
And we've sort of been like, yeah, that's okay. He's still getting better, and he hasn't come close to doing what Daniels has been doing this year.
No, and I think my point, so Daniels is the best rookie right now until somebody significantly passes him or until, right. you know, he gets banged up and then all of a sudden he's missing time or anything like that. But my point is he might not be, or C.J. Stroud's another one to throw in there.
Yeah.
Like sort of his coming back to reality that these other guys, I mean, I guess you have to throw out September in a way with Joe Burrow, but even Joe Burrow now, like, he loses games throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns or whatever. Like, you can't pin it on him. And that's the hierarchy that you hope your franchise quarterback might be trending toward. But it's also just as important. This is a marathon of a rookie season for Jaden Daniels, for Bo Nix. Like, we're going to see where these guys slot in. You know, I saw some remarkable numbers that I was going to go back and look because I somehow in my timeline some fight broke out about young quarterbacks, and I just kept getting, like, the fight back and forth. And somebody
that's
was
always
defending.
Fun, right? When it's in your you can mute that, you know. But like, yeah,
no,
it's annoying
I know.
When you just keep getting all the shrapnel from an argument you're not a part of anymore.
Like, I don't want to mute it sometimes because I'm sometimes interested,
right.
like in the argument and the points being made. And then it's like, okay, it's been an hour, guys. You've done 47 replies back and forth. It's time for me to hit those little three dots and go to the mute and exit this conversation.
Like, if you want to go back and revisit it, you can. But the constant notification, like, no, thank you.
Right.
That's not necessary.
But one of the points was like, Bo Nix is a boatload of the Denver offense. Like, he's responsible for so many of their yards. And these guys are all going to be, because they joined bad teams and you know, they're expected to be franchise quarterbacks. But we get so caught up in, you know, 3 weeks, a month. And we're certainly in the midst of it with Drake May, that, you know, things are going the right way and he's going to get better every week. And, you know, if we're in week 10 and he gets better every week for the next 7 weeks, wow, how good's he going to be in week 17? Probably not realistic. He's probably going to regress a couple times in there and it might be two steps forward, one step. I just, watching other quarterbacks go through it, it's easier to observe than it is when you're living kind of week to week in the world we are with Sports Talk Radio with Drake May.
Absolutely. Joe is in Melrose at 617-779-7937. Hi, Joe.
Hey, well, I think Drake May is definitely the franchise quarterback, the leader of the team. And I don't know if you saw John Gruden last night. He would take Drake May over Jaden Daniels. But, I mean, basically, I think the Patriots are really on an upward trajectory. They're one play away from winning the last three in a row. I mean, and if, like, Kendrick Bourdon didn't trip over his own feet, they would have beat the Titans in overtime. And I think they're going to win on Sunday. And the other thing is, like, Drake May, really, as a franchise quarterback, he calls the shots in the organization. So Alex Van Pelt and Mayo are going to be back because Drake May likes them. I mean, the Crafts are not going to get rid of any of those guys if Drake May likes them, and he does like them.
Well, he does. He likes them so far. I mean, he's enjoyed working with them. If they come up to him and say, Drake, you know, we have a chance to hire someone, you know, someone from the McVay tree or something like that, I don't know for sure that he'll say, no, I want to stick with Alex. I don't know that. We don't know what he's thinking. We don't know what's going on in his mind when it comes to those things. We're going to ask him questions about it, obviously, and we know what he's going to say. He's going to say, Alex Van Pelt's my guy, and I don't have that kind of pull in the organization. I asked him about Kendrick Bourne. Last Monday, I said, he was benched. Do you have any say into who's playing and who gets targets and stuff like that? And he was like, no, I don't get that type of thing. That's not a power that's bestowed on me yet. I'm just a rookie. I'm going out there doing my job, doing what I'm told. That's all he's going to say. I know that. But either way, when the other part of his thing there about being optimistic, I get that. I mean, I think that there's momentum now. They've won 2 out of 3. The loss was a loss in overtime, and the rookie's coming along. Now, I did hear Gruden, and yeah, he did. I thought he said he'd take him over Williams. He said he'd take him over Daniels, too.
He's a horse, man.
We can play the whole thing now if you want.
Well, now let's table that, save it for later, because we do want to get to some other things. 617-779-7937. The Boston Bruins. I don't know what I was expecting. They lost 5-2 to this team a couple weeks ago. They go out there and top themselves. This one was never close. Bruins get smoked by Dallas. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after this.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.